Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, Lord Nrisimhadev slays the demon, king of the demons. I'll just read this summary here. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu was ready to kill his own son, Prahlad Maharaj. But the Supreme Personality of God had appeared in the front of the demon as Sri Nri Keshari, half lion and half man, and killed him. So this is a summary of the chapter. Following the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, this chapter is takes Krishna some time to kill Hiranyakashipu. About the same time it took Prahlad to say the prayers. Actually, it was a little bit longer. They had a big fight there. I think Hiranyakashipu appeared sometime in the afternoon. Nrisimhadev appeared sometime in the afternoon, and they fought until dusk. So it was a pretty long fight. We made a whole movie. Following the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, all the sons of the demons became attached to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this attachment became pronounced, their teachers, Shanda and Amarka, were very much afraid that the boys would become more and more devoted to the Lord. In a helpless condition, they approached Hiranyakashipu and described in detail the effect of Prahlad's preaching. After hearing of this, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was so angry that Prahlad fell down at his feet and said many things just to pacify him, but he was unsuccessful in satisfying his demoniac father. Hiranyakashipu, as a typical demon, began to advertise himself as being greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prahlad challenged him, saying that Hiranyakashipu was not God, and began to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declaring that the Lord is all-pervading, and that everything is under him, and that no one is equal to or greater than him. Thus he requested his father to be submissive to the omnipotent Supreme Lord. The more Prahlad Maharaj glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more angry and agitated the demon became. Hiranyakashipu asked his Vaishnava son whether his God existed within the columns of the palace. And Prahlad Maharaj immediately accepted that since the Lord is present everywhere, he was also present within the columns. When Hiranyakashipu heard this philosophy from his young son, he decided the boy's statement was just the talk of a child and forcefully struck the pillow with his fist. As soon as Hiranyakashipu struck the column, there issued forth a tumultuous sound. At first, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, could not see anything but the pillar. But to substantiate Prahlad's statements, the Lord came out of the pillar in his wonderful incarnation as Narasimha, half lion and half man. Hiranyakashipu could immediately understand that the extraordinary, wonderful form of the Lord was surely meant for his death, and thus he prepared to fight with the form of half lion and half man. The Lord performed his pastimes by fighting with the demon for some time, and in the evening, on the border between day and night, the Lord captured the demon, threw him on his lap, and killed him by piercing his abdomen with his nails. The Lord not only killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, but also killed many of his followers. When there was no one else to fight, the Lord, roaring with anger, sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. The entire universe was thus relieved of the rule of Hiranyakashipu, and everyone was jubilant in transcendental bliss. Then all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma approached the Lord. These included the great saintly persons, the Pittas, the Siddhas, the Vidyadharas, the Nagas, the Manus, the Prajapatis, the Kandarvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the Kimpurushas, the Vaitalikas, the Kanaras, and many other varieties of beings in human form. All of them stood not far from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, began offering their prayers unto the Lord, whose spiritual effulgence was brilliant as he sat on the throne. So text 1. Shinari Vacha Atai Daitya Sutta Sarve Shudvatar Anuvat Nitam Chagrihor Nir Ravadyatvam Van Naiva Gorva Nishikshitam. Shri Narada Vacha. Shri Narada Muni said, Atta, therefore, or thereupon, Daitya, Sutta, the sons of the demons, the class friends of Prahlad Maharaj, Sarve, all, Shutva, hearing, Tat, by him, Prahlad, Anuvartnitam, the statements about devotional life, Jagrihu, accepted, Yaravad Yatvat, due to the supreme utility of that instruction. Na, not, eva, indeed, Guru Anushikshitam, that which was taught by their teachers. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Shanda and Amarka. Purport, this is the effect of the preaching of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. If a devotee is qualified, sincere, and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, as Prahlad Maharaj did, when preaching the instructions he had received from Narada Muni, his preaching is effective. As said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti rikarnara sayanam katha. If one tries to understand the discourses given by the sat, or the pure devotees, whose instructions will be very pleasing to the ear and appealing to the heart. Thus, if one is inspired to take to Krishna consciousness and one practices the process in his life, he is surely successful in returning home back to Godhead. By the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became Vaishnavas. They did not like hearing from their so-called teachers, Shanda and Amarka, who were interested only in teaching them about diplomacy, politics, economic development, and similar topics meant exclusively for sense gratification. Shri Narada Vacha Atta Daitya Sutta Sarve Shudvatar Anuvarnitam Jagrihor Niravadyatvan Naiva Gurvanushikshitam. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Shanda and Amarka. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatunde Ve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyate Satarane. Therefore, Purusharthas, known as Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, and human life is meant to follow these four principles in order to obtain moksha or liberation. All conditioned souls, except for, well, by definition, a conditioned soul is a conditioned soul, and therefore he has to seek after liberation. Now, the methods of seeking for liberation may be different. We have the Varna and Ashram system, which, in the beginning, one is taught Dharma. Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanta Gurorhitam Asavan Nicho Asavan. Actually, it's even here, so. Brahmachari Guru Kule General Index 12.1. Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanto Guru Orhitam Acharan Dasavanicho Guru Surida Saurida. Narada Muni said, a student should practice completely controlling his senses. He should be submissive and should have an attitude of firm friendship for the spiritual master. With a great vow, the brahmachari should live at the gurukul only for the benefit of the guru. This is the introduction of Dharma, and of course there's more about Dharma, what Dharma means and what the activities are, worshipping, chanting Gayatri, not unless you call to eat, the brahmachari doesn't come to eat, he doesn't stay alone with a lady, etc., etc. So there's principles of Dharma, so that one comes to the platform of Matrivat Paradareshu, Paradwareshu Lostavat, Atmavat Sarabhuteshu, Yak Pashyati Sapanditaha. So one sees all ladies, except for one's wife, to be like one's mother. If one can see that, then naturally he'll see all other living entities as spiritual beings also. If a man can see all ladies as being spiritual beings, then certainly he can see all ladies, and if ladies can see all men as spiritual beings, then it's not that much difficult to see everyone else as a spiritual being too. Because generally the animosity in society is due to the competition arousing from I am Tarzan, you are Jane, these are my monkeys, we're yours. Let my monkeys fight with you. I get Jane. You don't. So this is material life. I got my monkeys. You got yours. Let's fight. But if one sees everyone equally, then there's no question of fighting. And generally speaking, one doesn't see everyone equally because one is attached to possessing something. If one doesn't think himself to be the possessor of anything, one understands that Krishna is the possessor of everything, then there is no question of being attached to the objects of sense gratification, because they all belong to Krishna. Then one can see all living entities as spiritual beings, and one is liberated. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Nishoshiti Nakangshiti, Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madhvaktim Lavate Pura. That one who can see, one who gives up hankering lamentation and sees all living entities to be spiritual beings, then he becomes joyful and he can begin actual devotional service. So Veda culture is meant to teach one how to give up hankering lamentation and treat everyone as a spiritual being so that one can come to the platform of liberation and begin real devotional service, actual service with feelings of actual devotion towards Krishna. Now, Prahlad Maharaj, because he's on the platform of a pure devotee, therefore his preaching is certainly very effective because it's not just theoretical, as I've said many times. We can read the books and it's all very theoretical, which is not bad, it's good. We should get the theoretical knowledge, but better than theoretical knowledge is memorizing something like a parrot, which is good to memorize things as a parrot. At least it's better to think of the Bhagavatam than to think of other things. If you're going to memorize something, then memorize the Bhagavatam. That will at least keep us out of trouble. On the other hand, if someone can teach us how to see things in the proper perspective, the same perspective that Krishna sees things, that's why we not only have the Bhagavatam, but we have Srila Prabhupada's purports. So we can see the way that Krishna sees things. We can see how everything fits together, how everything's related, what's the priorities, what's more important, what's less important. So this is seeing things with the proper perspective. Whereas Krishna says, Nanyam gunebhyas kartaram, drashteva nupashiti, gunebhyas chaparam veti, madbhavan sodigashiti. When you can see that there's nothing beyond the three modes of nature in all activities, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these modes, you can know my spiritual nature. So to see things in perspective, that all this energy is Krishna's, Krishna is beyond his material nature, material nature is non-different from him, etc., etc. So one who can teach us how to see things in the proper perspective, that's certainly an elevation above simply remembering what the scriptures say. We should see what the scriptures say properly. But the scripture isn't meant for application. Just to see is not enough. Even just seeing is theoretical. We have to try to apply what we see and see what happens. Then if we apply what we see and we get a higher experience, then we become convinced that what I'm seeing is proper, is adequate. Or as Krishna says, Vishana Vidin Vartante, Niraharasi Dehinam Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Puram Drishtva Nivartate. The invited soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he becomes fixed in consciousness. So we can understand theoretically everything here belongs to Krishna. We may know that so many verses about that. Everything is meant for Krishna's service. We may know, have so many verses about that. We may be a great scholar and we might even write books about that. But if we're not engaged in devotional service, the material desires will not go away. We may hear how Krishna is God and he is the enjoyer. And we may become more and more envious as time goes on. Why is he the only enjoyer? Why can't I enjoy? So theoretical knowledge in itself is not sufficient. One has to apply that knowledge properly. Then the result is that one will get conviction. By experience, one gets conviction. By theoretical knowledge, one remains on the mental platform. Or at least maybe on the intellectual platform, but not on the realized platform, on the spiritual platform. So one has to apply, and the more one applies, the more conviction one gets, then the more one will be able to apply the knowledge properly with determination, and therefore eventually develop skill, become expert. Skill is something you do spontaneously. You don't have to think about it because it's part of your nature. So then it becomes part of one's nature. And the more one becomes skillful in devotional service, one develops a spiritual character. Because practicing devotional service means practicing, developing the good qualities, acting as a servant of the servant of Krishna. And therefore, nashi yasyasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana savarganas tatra samasute gurau haravaktasi kuto mahagunan Manomane nasati davato bahi. Simply by theoretical knowledge, one will remain on the mental platform, and under certain circumstances, one will not be able to tolerate the urge of the senses and the forces of desire and anger, and therefore fall down into the material, into the lower modes of activity. But the self-realized soul, one who actually has knowledge, experience, then they're not bewildered by these dualities. As Prabhupada said, it's actually the self-realized soul who's self-control because he's satisfied with pure devotional service. So when actually applies Krishna consciousness and gets a higher taste, then one gives up the desire to do anything else other than simply engage in Krishna service. The higher the taste, then the higher the conviction, the higher the determination, and the higher the skill also in pure devotional service. Then one develops the character of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj or the other Mahajans, Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Kamara Kapilomanu, Pralado Janaka Bhishmo, Vayora Vayasakira Vaya. So there are different personalities throughout the whole universe, and they're engaged in different activities, but they all have the character of pure devotee. They're all surrendered and acting as an instrument for Krishna, and they're preaching Krishna consciousness, as Prahlad Maharaj. If one has the character of a pure devotee, then Krishna is there personally with the devotee all the time. And the whole atmosphere becomes surcharged with Krishna's presence and the presence of the spiritual world, Krishna's associates. And therefore, preaching to people becomes a lot easier because the whole atmosphere is very conducive. If we're preaching theoretically, we don't bring so much of a spiritual atmosphere with us. We may bring some knowledge. We may even bring some perspective, proper way of seeing things. We may even bring some conviction. We may even have some, to some degree or another, some skill in devotional service, but only when one has the character of a pure devotee is one can one actually demonstrate what the teachings actually are about. The teachings are about developing the character of a pure devotee. It's not finding out how many arms, how many hands, or where Krishna places the conch, wheel, club, and lotus flower in his hands. It's nice to know that. It helps us meditate on Krishna, his different forms. But our philosophy is to become a surrendered soul to Krishna so that we develop the qualities and the characteristics, the character of a pure devotee. Then one's instructions would be very powerful. Krishna Shakti Vinanaya Tara Pavartana. So we want to preach Krishna consciousness, but we also want to become more and more effective in preaching Krishna consciousness. And the way of doing that, of course, we can study different techniques of preaching. You may go out and sell books and try to find out how to win friends and influence people. But more important than that is develop the qualities of a pure devotee. That will be more convincing that what's in the book is true than simply trying to become expert at selling the book. As they say in English, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. That if we're selling the book, then it should be that we're convinced what's in the book. But if we don't know what's in the book, then we're not going to be so convincing. We may sell the book, but we may not sell what's in the book so easily. So we not only want to sell the book, we want to sell what's in the book, we want to demonstrate what's in the book, not only personally, but in the society, and then people will be attracted to the books. Then they become alive. So the books are not theoretical, but they're theoretical for one who's not in Krishna consciousness. But if the more we apply the books, what's in the books, the more we manifest what's in the books, then the more people will be able to easily understand what's in the book. And if we're doing something else that's in the book, and we give them a book and tell them, read the book, and they'll look around and see what we're doing, they'll get all confused. They'll wonder, are they really following the book? Or maybe there's something wrong with the book. Maybe I don't understand the book. Maybe no one understands the book. So we not only have to hear about Krishna, we not only have to understand about Krishna, we not only have to become convinced about Krishna, but we have to act as Krishna's pure devotee. And then people will be able to explain what's in the book much more effectively. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna, could I just ask if you could explain a little bit more why is it so effective to work for Krishna, to work for Krishna, something concrete, something physical, compared to mental work? It just a little bit confuses me because I treat the mental work as more subtle than body. Could you just explain a little bit more
about that? You can't work with your gross body unless you work with the subtle body. We work with the subtle body, not with the gross one. The mental platform doesn't mean the mental platform of Krishna consciousness. It means the mental platform of mental speculation, looking around the world trying to figure out what I can control here for my enjoyment. That's called the mental platform. Not the platform of thinking about what to, looking around the world to see what I can do for Krishna here. That's the spiritual platform. Okay?
Thank you.
What's that?
Illusion.
Yeah, that's our normal every state of, that's our normal position. Looking around, trying to figure out how to control and enjoy the material world, because we're under illusion. Otherwise, if we realize we're spiritual souls, then we wouldn't try to look around the material world to try and enjoy something here, because we'd understand there's nothing enjoyable for the soul. If you realize that the driver of the car, you may fill up the car with gas, but you don't put the gas into your own body, because you realize you're different from the car. You don't stop putting gas and oil into the car, but you don't put it into yourself. You realize it wouldn't be very good. So we're on the platform where we're thinking with the car, and therefore we're thinking these objects, the material energy, will actually satisfy us. They may help the car, but they won't help us very much. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.